Chapter 24. Night Hunt.
Strategic missive. Highest encryption. Highest urgency. All ports. Source: Warmaster Materio, Zenith Fleet. Endpoint: Inquisitor Mantisera, Ordo Malleus, Aegea 5. Augur scans indicate a major shift underway. Sarkis is reinforcing the Dembelli cluster. The risk is unacceptable. Abort the mission.
The Inquisitor stayed behind. The Black Flame platoon climbed aboard one of two Valkyrie gunships on a night mission to the outskirts of the Dembelli Hive cluster. The second bird held Captain Bentura and his squad of 10 Astartes. It was a 2-hour flight to the northeast, and I slept most of the way. We were flying well behind the enemy lines, a mere 200 feet above the fast-flowing ground. All comms were dead silent. Advanced guidance systems were quelled. As I scouted the surrounding airspace in astral form, our two Valkyries magically morphed into 10, changing the nature of our mission. Overkill was the word that came to mind. We weren't looking to capture and hold the Hive City. We were supposed to be going in hot, hitting a couple of targets at most, inflicting maximum damage in a minimum amount of time, and jetting away. Bloodthorn number 2 awaited, and it wasn't the Alpha Shard of Sarkis. The lead forces of the Emperor and Chaos were slugging it out farther to the west, and the cultists were never that well armed. There might be a fresh batch of Felguard to keep the locals in line, but a squad or two of Astartes would suffice in clearing those, with or without my help. I'd been through the Bloodthorn's entire stock once, and didn't expect any new surprises. I would have happily gone on the mission alone for the price of a ride in. I had run the numbers past the Inquisitors and Captain Bentura. Nobody seemed to disagree with the assessment, and yet an entire Astartes company was cruising in behind us. Feth. No collar. Check. Active mark. Check. Demon host incarnate. Check. Primaris whelp inbound. Check. A backstop with high caliber weapons. Check. I could only alter one of those factors in the middle of the mission. Okay, maybe two. But I wasn't about to drop Captain Bentura's fleet of Valkyries for a free night out. I would merely have to adjust our itinerary and hope the Astartes approved. Like shadows of thunder, the gunships timed their arrival perfectly, touching down and peeling away as one. Few things in this war impressed me more. The Dembelli spaceport defenders were taken by surprise as the Sons of Hyperion charged toward the nearest hive, firing on the run with inhuman accuracy. We followed in the Astartes' wake, using a broad tactical shield and doing our best to keep up. Dembelli Primus was larger than any of the hives in Gaul Cluster and no less blood-soaked. The cultists had been here longer, and more of the hive's population had been harvested. I couldn't imagine the city coming back to life once freed, but that was the long-term plan. Homing in on the central lift banks, we trailed the vast arc of space marines through 3 miles of Sector 00 and hideous stacks of rotting flesh. Sporadic rounds continued to hammer our shields and the Astartes' impregnable armor, but the city's dense maze precluded any larger threats. Felguard appeared time and again, somehow eluding the massive warriors and bouncing off our telekinetic shield, while other beasts tried to sneak in behind us. None of the fiends reached their intended marks. More than anything, the city of Dembelli Primus was the deadliest threat. The hive felt like a violent collision in the instant after it occurs. Some might call it shock or terror to the 10th power. As an inhuman shrine, it clawed at our eyes, tore at our minds, and skewered our humanity. The manifestation of horror was the Bloodthorn's power, a curse grasping fervently at all who dared come near. The Astartes felt it too, and seemed to shorten their strides as they tightened up the surrounding perimeter. Of my psyker arcs, only Keegan had witnessed anything close to the carnage on display. Working alone, I never had to worry about others seeing my hands shake. Now, well, I had a promise to keep to those near and far. Captain Bentura, move us south 100 paces and bring all of your warriors in as close as possible. With the psyker arcs tucked inside Bentura's tightly knit perimeter, I gave the order to light me up, old style. Our tactical shield rolled outward into the shape of a large, flat, semi-transparent dome, encircling everyone. It was a mini-replica of the massive city's towering shield 2 miles above. Tempe's arc unleashed their energy, a silvery white spider dancing across my auric shield, while Keegan's heat radiated outward amid the pulses of intense lightning. Having the psykers here with me was a blessing. Their energy flowed with a challenge that the psyker net couldn't transcend. I sucked it all in and held it. Hands clasped, faces glowed, and eyes closed. The anticipation was the inverse of every dark deed I'd ever experienced. Holding that thought, I knelt. My world began to spin. Time slowed. My mind waded through an ocean of silver looking for the shore. I found it. The outer shield hardened into an opaque shell, shutting off everyone's view of Dembélé's flawed reality. My hands touched the plascrete floor, and I bowed my head to gods unseen, hoping they knew enough to take a big step back. I whispered a single word. 6. The universe heard it, and the heart of Dembélé thumped once in response beneath our feet. A second later, I reeled in our tactical shield, revealing a brand new world. Utter silence, and a shimmering silvery light blanketed the city's main sector. The grotesque had been replaced by an unbroken peace for miles around. Nothing moved beyond the gentle settling of ash and an ethereal coppery cord snaking upward into the cluster of towers high overhead. There was nothing fragile about the Sons of Hyperion, but at that moment, every warrior sank to their knees. Behind me, Tempi Azar wept in Vidal's arms. Keegan's helmet brushed against mine as she clung to my arm and dragged me to my feet. Among the giant warriors, she seemed smaller, almost fragile beneath layers of guard armor, but perfectly sure of her place by my side. The Black Flame platoon could have stayed behind in Gaul, but I'd brought them along for a reason. Call it an introduction to war or a gift, a moment to never be forgotten. Together we placed a mark on Dembélé Primus. Together we felt the scourge disappear, replaced by a feeling of being in the right place at the right time. It was the best I could do. Looking back, there were times at Scola Sicana when I showed off to get the attention of a higher power. This was one of those times. It felt like enough. It had to be enough. I wouldn't get another chance to prove my point. The reclamation of Dembélé Primus was my one and only defense against those that thought me a child. With each successive step in the process, I would stake another claim. That I was selfish like a child was the Blood Cult's problem, not mine. Their grip on the city would fade as the silver spell shattered their curse and released the fallen. The High Temple was our next stop, followed by the Bloodthorn in its lair. Captain Ventura, the demon host awaits our arrival in the Overhive. Pick one squad as escort. The Black Flame Arcs will remain here with the rest of your company. I grasped Keegan's hand, letting her know she'd be coming with us. We stopped short of the Overhive. The High Temple offered another harsh treatment for our filtered senses, and I was disappointed to see the shrine's upper windows had been destroyed. The Emperor's gaze no longer suffered the surrounding abattoir.
Primaris, what are you about?
Captain Ventura had recovered his belligerent stance on the 2-minute ride upward into the nightmare. I may not always have the best plans, but one must never dive into the pit without a backstop and a reserve. Ventura knew his business.
We're your backstop and Warrant Bast is your reserve.
In dark energy, yes, but psychers also have souls that need mending. In that, I'm her backstop and her reserve.
Why now?
She is at risk. The Bloodthorn in Gaul was after her from the start. Lieutenant Bast must have the strength to stand on her own and fight back if the Dembélé Bloodthorn manages to break free.
We are her backstop as well.
Ventura placed his hand, sized like the giant paw of a bear, on his bolter. No, I placed my hand on the massive warrior's chest. You are her protector, and nothing more.
I have my orders.
And I'll have your oath before we proceed. Ventura hesitated. Keegan whispered at my side.
It's okay, I know the risk.
She didn't. I didn't dare tell her about the second coppery thread rising to its mark beside the first. I pulled off my helmet, hoping she'd do the same. Only one heart matters to me, not mine, not the city's, only yours. It's broken, and my silver can't heal it. Her helmet landed at my feet. She leaned in to kiss me, whispering,
What are we doing here?
You'll see. I took her hand in mine. We approached the blood-brown steps and knelt. She knew what I intended, and we etched the number 6 on the steps below the door. There was an ecstasy to be shared, a topping off and a shedding of doubt about what we were and what we were about to do. The process cleansed our minds while the silver spell began its feast, running up the steps and frosting the temple's main door. I waited for the portal to open. I waited for a sign on how to proceed, but nothing happened. No goddess appeared. Like I'd said, I was a psyker and my silver couldn't solve what ailed Keegan Bast. The warp tied us together through a rabid addiction and a shared purpose. but nothing more. The rest came from within. Here was a woman that kept fighting, whether the battle was won or lost. Her auburn hair still smelled of pepper, and her lips tasted of salt. She owned me as much as anyone or anything in my life, and I told her so.
Do you seek to mark me like the temple steps?
That's not what I'm saying, but yes. If I could, I would claim you as mine. She stared into my eyes for a full minute until tears finally clouded her vision. She wiped them off her cheek and dabbed them on my nose.
Now you are truly marked. Don't make my heart a widow.
Never, I said, lifting Keegan to her feet. Behind us, the Astartes had formed a protective arc facing outward. Captain Ventura, the High Temple has been marked. We shall return here after the battle to gather ourselves. The Sons of Hyperion will clear the way forward and act as a backstop for the beast. When we get to the Overhive, only I will approach the Bloodthorn in its lair. Starfire had been left with Inquisitor Agrimont for safekeeping. Calling it to me was a simple way to signal that we'd reached our primary target. The most perilous part of our mission was about to begin. My power glaive pointed at the heart of the Bloodthorn, while the iron scent of blood and burning flesh swirled around the once beautiful gallery. Now, expert displays of butchery adorned the tower's walls. The fell guard had been thick as we fought our way across the skybridge and into the Overhive. 2 miles above ground zero, the arching walkway had hemmed everyone in, leading to a melee I would never forget. Stoving in the Bloodthorn's last line of defense, the Sons of Hyperion had made their contribution and suffered their first losses in the fray. As ordered, my backstop remained outside, guarding the only way out, and Keegan Bast. I was topped off and ready to go.
Welcome, brother. We've been expecting you.
The voice of Sarkis sounded like blood-smeared broken glass. The inhuman tone was the same, but the man stretched out before me was different. Whose vessel do you wear this time?
The governor of Dembelli, of course. Can't you appreciate his ancient yet refined good looks?
The man had seen better days. There were holes in his cheeks, and I doubted that he'd ever sharpened his teeth or fingernails in order to enjoy a meal. Tentacles held the Bloodthorn's physical body in place, arteries and veins exchanging lifeblood for horror. I inched closer. Who do you serve? The vampire hissed in laughter and lifted its chin. Around the former governor's neck was a necklace of blackened skin.
We serve the mighty Sarkis. Have you come to join him?
Yes, I showed off my warp mark.
Come closer. The governor grows tired and has chosen his successor.
The creature held out its withered hand.
Do you accept?
The face of Carbis Nedry came to mind, drooling as his underhive future unfolded. The tip of Starfire touched the Bloodthorn's chest as I reached out and took hold of its hand. I pulled and pushed simultaneously, trading dark energy for a dark soul. The ghoul came apart as the force weapon fired, mundane and silver energy turning its bloody reality to ash. I dropped the weapon as the lie took hold. I'd come to Dembelli expecting a single shard of Sarkis, and had gotten two.
You took our brother. Now we will take you.
Two voices echoed as one in my head. I cringed. My war shield disintegrated. My voice coughed out five inside a bubble of dead air. The face of Sarkis, part druid, part Empyrean myth, swam into view, saying,
We have a deal to close.
The entrance to the Overhive gallery shuddered as a giant silver-white spark jumped across the room, welding the door shut and sealing us away from the rest of Dembelli. How? I croaked.
How do we come to wield your power?
Sarkis laughed, shaking the cadavers until they danced around the room.
We own you. Accept your fate and surrender to our cause.
Each word hammered into my mind. On the cusp of being free, I was drawn back into a nightmare. An invisible hand pushed me to my knees.
You are a child of chaos. Stop fighting that which will make you stronger.
Our universe is filled with children, young and old. We each shepherd realities that ebb and flow until something comes along and steals away our lives. This wasn't reality. It was chaos in all its forms. I crawled toward the molten gallery door. The guard channelers in my head itched, daring me to scratch them, but I couldn't take the risk. Halfway there, I stopped as an incredible shadow passed over the city, snuffing out my silver fire in a blink. What was that? I knew the answer, but needed to hear it in my heart.
Sarkis readies his ascension. You will be his first meal. Aegea V will be his second. By dawn, the war will be won.
The Great Rift divided the planet, marking a boundary that the rebels had never meant to cross. Knee-deep in blood, They had everything they needed on this side of the line. Locked with the demon host's lair and out of reach of my backstops, I'd been conscripted as the third soul shard of Sarkis, replacing the one I'd defeated. The warp demon's mark made us inseparable and promised me a future of a different color. I had been playing with fire, learning to do things I never should have attempted. I was named Silver. That was my color, not blood red, not copper, but it was never truly my name. Neither was 5 or 6. One was a heartless killer, and the other a clueless protector. The creatures of the Immaterium had names to catalog their curses and gifts. It made them all the more real as they burrowed through unwanted openings into our lives, spreading chaos and grief. The ring around my throat gave me yet another name, Bloodthorn. It offered unmatched power but was merely the cosmic branding for a weapon, a sarcophagus, or a slave. My billing on either side of the veil held dire consequences and paths, but at that moment, only one thing mattered. Amid the shame and suffering of this forsaken world, the battle had become the war. I reversed course, crawling back toward Starfire. The warp demon would enjoy its first meal. The beast had better, for it would be the last. Sarkis! I howled, summoning the beast. My shields were gone. The shadow descended. It was the same, always the same. The demon's ethereal presence flowed around the room, circling its prey. The walls between dimensions thinned, and an enormous weight settled on my mind in a bid to crush me flat. Welcome to my life. My nose itched, drawing me back to the salty truth. The Bloodthorn's lair was compromised. Sarkis's power remained split between warring parties as the warp demon arrived in full. Proclaiming victory, the demon host called out as one,
Sarkis!
That they used my voice to do it was all the demon needed to hear. The soul of Sarkis dove for its new host and the cache of power that would define its new domain. I hugged my power glaive, its blade tucked beneath my chin. The weapon had been a gift from a noble house, a ploy and a promise all rolled into one ancient relic. Can one love the giver as much as the gift? Sure, but reality gets in the way, and the giver, well, she was always out of my league. I thumbed the power glaive on, its molecular disruptor humming in anticipation. The demon's shadow finally struck. Sarkis roared, claiming its third and final mark. I hadn't forgotten my safe word. Starfire roared back with finality as its epic cache of silver energy jumped through the glaive's power source. I would leave it empty, if nothing else. Time staggered to a halt as dark energy fought for a fleeting hold. Reality shifted. A door opened in front of me and I dove through it. There is a lightness to chaos, a carefree notion that belies the need to knock. Step on through, and the universe is yours. We've even marked the way. Unspoken among those most devious is the eternal weight that draws their ire. Some call it the face of the emperor. Others see it as something more. The anchor of every true being in the universe, especially those that haven't forgotten their hearts, transcends the separation of dark matter and light. Curses mean absolutely nothing to them. If only the emperor were here to experience the truth. Sarkis certainly did.